him. Aren't you glad that we serve a God that doesn't want us to just know him from the shoulders up, but he wants to touch our hearts? I mean, you know what? I know we have to guard against being emotional, because sometimes emotions are just feelings, and feelings can be deceptive, but sometimes God, even Paul said, he says, stir up those emotions within you that love the Lord Jesus Christ. There are good emotions, and there are bad emotions. There's times when we get stirred up for all the right reasons, and sometimes we get stirred up for all the wrong reasons. And today, I believe and I trust that in the last few moments that God has just literally stirred your heart, because you needed that. You just needed that bump. You needed that encouragement, that pat on the back, that hug of the heart that God gave you. And I don't know what difference it made in you, but I know that it made a difference. Man, praise the Lord. And thank you for letting us have a church and be a church that can do that, to be open to what the Holy Spirit does. You know, really, you give permission for that more than anything else. So thank you for that. Hey, I would like to start my message today, and my message is called Shoveling Coal, and I love props. So there's my prop. That shovel has never touched a piece of coal in its life, but it is a shovel. But before we get there, I just want to illustrate something, and I need three volunteers, and I got to thinking this morning, what better place to pool some volunteers than from some young ladies from Arkansas who are just created for volunteerism. So Alyssa, what I'd like you to do, I'd like you and bring up two of your best volunteers. These people that just live and breathe, I'll sign up right now. So you and two others, I need three, and you're one of them. So come on up, let's give these young ladies a big hand. They come up. Thanks for doing the math there, sister. We didn't need four. We just need three. Come on up, ladies. Come on up. Let me help you, not because you're an invalid, but because it's appropriate. There you go. All right. So just span out here anyway. Who wants to be number one? Oh, awesome. Come right here. Okay. Who wants to? This is the best one, by the way. Okay. And we're going to save you for last. How cool is that? Here's what I want to illustrate something just for a second before we start shoveling coal. This is basically the condition of the human heart at birth, okay? So I want you to put your hands out like this, and I want you to just do this, okay? Because we are born, and when we're born, our whole impulse is, feed me, change my diaper. That was a long time ago, right? Okay, change my diaper. You know, I want this, I want that. And then we grow up, and we become, we become teenagers, and we want a bicycle. And then we go, hey, send me to college. Thank you. All right, just keep on going, babe. There you go. I'll let you know when you're done. All right. So this is the condition that we're born in. Now, the problem is that if this isn't dealt with, then it is going to escalate, and it's going to drift into every other part of our life. When we get older and we get married, we look at our spouses and we hold them responsible. It's your job to make me happy. It's your job to meet my needs. That's just the way it is. It's absolutely your job. And then if we become Christians, we really hold God to the same criteria. God, it's your job to answer every one of my prayers. It's your job to solve my problems. It's your job to make me healthier and wealthier and all of these other things. And it'll drift into everything. It even drifts into the church. The church. People come to church and they go, well, it's the church's job to make me happy. It's the church's job to solve all of my problems. It's the church's job to take care of my kids. And you know what? If you won't do it, then I'll go down the road to another church and see if they'll take care of me. I've heard this many times, and I don't want to say it jokingly because sometimes it's the truth, but most of the time when people say, I'm just not being fed, most of the time it's because they're not eating. There's plenty of food in front of them. There's plenty of options. We serve a buffet around here, okay? And it's because they're not eating for the most part. I don't mean to be judgmental, but most of the time it becomes out of this depraved feeling that we have when we're at birth. Are you getting tired yet? Don't worry. It'll get weary. Just hang in there, okay? Aren't you glad I didn't bring you barbells today? And this is the way that we're born. So listen, we need to understand this is a depraved condition. Now, the definition of depraved is immoral or wicked. Now, this young lady isn't immoral or wicked. But when we become selfish, basically in nature, as it begins to expand, it begins to just take a part of our life, it begins to get older, we bring it into our relationships, our friendships, our marriages, our businesses, our family, all these other things, it starts becoming immoral and wicked. And it drives a big wedge between us and other people because we're basically just wanting to be served. It's all about me. And the reason you're getting tired is because this gets old in a hurry. And you've only done it for a little while. My sermon's only 30 minutes old. You're okay. I'll be done by then, okay? So let's move on. You ready? Okay, so this is what I need you to do. I need you to put your left arm out like that. Okay, just right there, sister. I don't know if any of you have ever done this. If you've ever been to one of those restaurants where they have somebody that has this over their arm. Okay, there you go. You knew exactly what to do with it, didn't you, sister? Good job. Were you in the restaurant business? Okay, all right, just wondering. But this is what God wants to do with this condition, where he wants to take us. He wants to take us to a place of serving. Now, if you've ever been to one of those really, really fancy restaurants, it's crazy. First time I ever went to was when I was 16. I was dating Cindy Reese. Is my wife here? Debbie, are you here? Now, the reason I asked that is that we're on hold for baby number 4, our grandbaby. So we thought it was happening Friday. Our whole weekend was just messed up. Okay, and now I don't know if Debbie's there or here because we're waiting on all of this stuff, so it's crazy. She's probably, anyway, but Cindy Reese didn't mean anything to me in case she gets the tape. But I was dating Cindy Reese, and they took me to this really fancy restaurant, and I sat down, and there was a plate with a plate on the plate. And they had like a knife and a spoon and 2 forks and another fork up there and all kinds of glasses, and I thought, who else is coming? It was crazy. So my wonderful date at that time, Cindy just said, just follow me. So when she'd pick up something, I'd pick up something. And at one time, I dropped my fork. It went on the ground. I went down to pick it up, and there was a guy just like, well, not just like you. Okay, all right. You know, he wasn't anywhere as close as good-looking as you are. But anyway, and he grabbed my fork same time I did. I looked at him like, I'm going to need that. He said, I'll get you another, sir. What is this? It was nuts. But this is what God wants us to do. These people are positioned in there. They are hired to meet your every need. They are hired to serve you. They are hired to make you have a good experience. They want to make sure that everything that you need, every need that you have is met. And that's exactly what was happening. In John the 13th chapter, Jesus says, I want you to go and secure the upper room. We're going to go up and have the Last Supper. So that's what they did. And guess what? They forgot to invite the foot washing guy. So let me take there. John the 13th chapter, the Bible says, Jesus rose from supper and laid aside his garments. He took a towel and girded himself. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. So when he had washed their feet and taken his garments, he sat down again and he said to them, do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Most assuredly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who is sent greater than he who has sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. There's a big difference between knowing it and doing it. Sweetheart, I'm going to give you a break. You just keep those hands out there, all right? You don't have to wiggle anymore, all right? The difference between knowing and doing is sometimes miles apart. Because I know what to do. I see it. It's obvious. You know what? Sometimes we're walking down the hall, whether it's at your house or Reese's or whatever, and something's on the floor. You know, your common sense says, that doesn't belong there. I ought to pick it up. But then your flesh says, it's not my job. There's a lot of things that don't happen in this world because everybody's too busy saying, that's not my job. What they ought to be asking is, Lord, do you want me to do that? We ask the wrong question too many times. Because you see, we know the answer to, that's not my job. The answer is, that's not my job. But God has given us a different job. It's a job of serving Him in the greater humanity, in greater kindness to each other. That it's not about that is my piece of paper, it's on my floor, and I need to clean it up because it's mine. I made that mess, I need to clean it up. No, it's a mess and it needs to get cleaned up. So, you know, just get busy cleaning it up. That's what God wants us to do. Gordon Armstrong was once the president of Bible College up north And he talked about the day that he came from a military family, and you know, so everything was hut, and his mom just kind of took care of everything, you know. So he gets married, and he says, one day, I was doing as I always do. I was fixing to take a shower. So he said, I just kind of walk out of my clothes and get into the shower because my wife's going to pick all that up. And he said, so I got out of the shower, and I looked at my garments, and he said, God told me to pick them up. He said, I went right here, and I went, wait a minute. If I do that, my wife's going to expect me to pick up my underwear from now on. And he said, I can't believe I spent 10 minutes in this visual war over whether I'd pick up my own underwear or not because of all it was going to cost me. And he said, all of a sudden I realized, man, my flesh was warring with my spirit, but God had spoken to me clearly. And he said, to my great, great dismay, he said, I picked it up and it didn't hurt. And he said, and it's amazing, you know, and he tells this whole story. Kind of course, he makes it comical, but, you know, there's things like that just make common sense, and it's because God has called us to be servants. One of the elders of Willow Creek Church, Dr. Bilzekian, that's a big word, Bilzekian, this is what he wrote. He said, you will never know soul satisfaction and fullness of life through the avenue of self-gratification. If your basic orientation in life is acquiring, achieving, getting and making sure it all comes your way, you will gradually self-destruct. You will gradually destroy people all around you. You will wind up in a Christless eternity. You will have a vacuum in your soul, and the disease of self-absorption really is that serious. It's amazing. It doesn't have to be that you're just the spoiled brat, the biggest selfish person. Just little bitty things that God is talking to us. If we avoid those, this is the road that we're going down. God says there's a better way. That we should serve God and serve others. Very easy. It would make for a great bumper sticker for Christianity. But it's so easily overlooked because sometimes we just don't grasp the concept. We should serve God and serve others. If you want to be great, if you want to be the greatest, which we all want to be great. Now, measure that any way you want to, but everybody loves a pat on the back. Everybody wants to be gratified. Everybody wants to be recognized. Everybody wants to have somebody say, that was a good job. You're a good person. But you know, if you're ever going to get there, the Bible says that we have to learn how to serve God and serve others. If we ever want to be first, and who doesn't want to be first? Now, I don't mean that in the context of human relationships, but I mean, we just want to be on top of things. We want to know we're on the right track. Then we need to learn to serve God and serve others. And if we do, it'll change our families. It'll change our marriages. It'll change your business. It'll change this church. It'll change Claremore. It'll change the world. Right now, look at the common climate of our society, of where we are as a culture, where we are as a world. If this one little concept started bleeding its way into the fiber of what every human believed, whatever human exercised, it would start changing everything, wouldn't it? It would. But it's a long way to go. So let's go to our last one right here, okay? Here's what I need you to do. It's real difficult, okay? Why'd you do that?
I was ready.
Okay, you're just ready. You're probably good. Put your hand right here, okay? That's all you got to do. Because this represents a lot of three things real quick. First of all, we need to serve out of our heart and not our head. You see, there's a lot of things I know, but the Bible just said, if you know it, that's awesome, but blessed if you do it. And we do these things out of a devotion, not a decision. It's easy to make a decision. This just makes sense or whatever. But you got to be careful because sometimes we serve out of pride. We do something so somebody will recognize it and say, wow, you're a pretty nice guy. Wow, look what you did. That's incredible. That was really giving. How sacrificial. And we do it because it makes us look better. That's not from our heart. That's from our head. That's our pride speaking out, clamoring for attention and wanting to be noticed. But we need to give out of our heart and not our head. The second thing is we need to give out of a sense of passion, literally out of this sense of our spiritual gifts. I'm amazed when I stop and think sometimes about the things that some of you people do. Some of you could just look in the pantry and some kind of meal comes out of there. It's amazing. I can barely do that at the lookout menu on McDonald's. And you guys are just amazing with what you do with food. There's some people in here. I have heard people brag on the fact that every week I get this letter or this card from this person and it lifts me up. I look forward to go into the mail because I know one day that week I'm going to get that card. How about that phone call, that text, these little things that we do? Listen, it may not sound like giving $1 million to missions, but in heaven, God is loving it. God is excited. Every one of us has a spiritual gift. I don't know what it is. Some of you are really good with taking wood and turning it into something cool. Some of you are very administrative. Some of you are very kind. Some of you would be the best greeters in the world if we could just kind of get you out of the pew and out there in front of the door. Some of you have these incredible gifts. And out of this passion, this thing that God has given you, your heart just beats because you want to do this thing. It's what drives you. Some of you can take a piece of material and throw some thread at it, and it turns into incredible stuff. Did you see the quilt we gave away last week? That's amazing. I don't know how many years it took her to do that, but it's amazing how that stuff goes. God on and on and on. He gives us these passions so that we use it in the kingdom. And the last reason we want to do this, because if you put your hand on your heart, you have to ask the question, is my heart even beating? Is there anything going on in there? When I do this, does it just echo? Because my heart is disengaged. It needs to be engaged. It needs to be totally a part of what's going on. Because the minute your heart gets involved in something, everything follows that. If your heart gets involved in something, your gifts are going to go there. If your heart gets involved in something, your actions are going to get there. If your heart is involved in something, your words start heading you in this direction. Every part of your body, every part of your life, every part of your spirituality follows where your heart goes. You know what we say to our kids? And I've said it 2 or 3 times this weekend in talking to my little granddaughters. Hey, where's Jesus? I just love it. They go, in my heart. Now, if we want to be technical and we could just give up a big theological, you know, decision or discussion on that, but I'm going to tell you what, I know what that means. They are embracing the Lord Jesus Christ from their heart. Amen. Will you give these guys a big hand? You may put your arms down. Thank you. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you, guys. Now you know why you came to Oklahoma. I did have to have this back. I got it out of Sister Debbie's towel drawer. So what does that all have to do with shoveling coal, Pastor? Well, let's go down that road just for a second. Back in the day of the coal-fired engines, when coal was the fuel, whether it was a locomotive or whether it was a steam liner, then there was these men called the firemen. And the firemen were the ones, and you've seen it on the old-fashioned locomotives and stuff, and you've seen it in pictures about steam liners like the Titanic, that there were these men down there, and they just would go through here, they just got a big shovel of coal, and they'd come over here and throw it into that furnace. And it was out of the fire. The coal was the fuel for the fire, and as the fire raged, it would heat all the water in the boiler, which created an immense amount of steam. And the steam caused this pressure, which literally powered the propulsion on that thing and gave all the ability for electrical things to work and all the heating for the ship, or the power of this massive locomotive with all that huge black smoke billowing out of it to run down the tracks. It was because somebody was down there shoveling coal that all of this was to happen. Now, not to just kind of be whole Hollywood or whatever, but the Titanic is not only famous for its incredible tragedy, but the movie and everything else that they've done through that. But back then was when this was probably one of the best examples we can think of. On the Titanic alone, they had 150 firemen. They worked in 4-hour shifts just shoveling coal because of the massive amount of coal that needed to be used to heat that whole system so that the steam could drive that thing and send it along the water. It's amazing how that these things were and the difficulty of these things work. But because of what they did, it was essential for the success of that ship. That ship doesn't move if these people don't shovel coal. Nothing happens if they don't shovel coal. People don't stay warm. The electricity doesn't work. All of these systems come to a screeching halt if somebody's not willing to be down in the belly of the beast, if you will, and shovel coal. So let me tell you about these unseen, unknown, nameless, faceless people. They were just that. They were unseen, unknown, nameless, faceless, but they were essential. You see, I don't mind volunteering sometimes if I'm going to get my picture on the paper. I don't mind volunteering sometimes if the pastor's going to call me up to the front and say, wow, that was awesome. You know where I'm going from that. To be honest with you, I don't know of anybody that's really like that, but at the same time, it kind of helps your volunteerism, doesn't it? I'll sign up for that if there's going to be personal benefit or recognition. But these people were just absolutely out of nowhere. They worked under the radar. Matter of fact, they literally did work in the belly of that ship. If you've ever seen a diagram, because I researched all this, you know, since I wasn't one, no longer do we have a lot of coal-fired things, and the ones that are, they no longer shovel it. They got augers. They got machines that will feed the coal into that machine. But back in that day, that's exactly what they were. But if you've ever seen a diagram, I thought it was just interesting. The very bottom of that ship is where all the boilers are, where all that work takes place. These guys never see topside. I've asked people in the Navy that have served on ships, I said, did you ever get to see topside? And I'm trying to talk Navy talk. I never was in the Navy, but they knew what I was talking about. You know, and every now and then they get to come up and they get to go on shore and that type of thing. But if their job is underneath there, you know, no one sees it. Nobody knows. Nobody pats them on the back. They're just doing their job. These people, in essence and in secret, made it possible for others to enjoy their own experience. And God has always had people in that circumstance. Think about our church. We have a nursery that's going on right now. And we love your babies. Bring them on. You know what? I don't mean this the way it sounds because I shouldn't, but that's okay. They're not in here. I can say this. Our nursery loves it when we're loaded with kids. I think. But I'm going to tell you, I'm fixing to go on number four. I've changed a lot of diapers. I don't know why, but my grandkids' poop doesn't stink. But yours might. I don't know. There's just, you know, there's just something about that dirty work, and it's just amazing how that you can do that with the people that you prefer. But when God just gives you a job, then just get in there and serve, and God will give you an incredible reward. But we do that. Our nursery, this is incredible. These people, if you didn't have somewhere to bring your kids and come in here, then how could we do church? What about our Sunday school teachers, our before church small group people? These people prepare all week so that you can come in there and not only have fellowship, but have discussion and get something out of the Bible. What about all the people that are working in children's church right now? Pastor Vince and his whole crew over there, just making sure that our young children are learning about the Lord Jesus Christ and they're just dissecting the Word of God. People out here, you know, we have this cafe in the lobby. That just doesn't show up. Somebody doesn't just come by and they just shows up. It doesn't happen all of itself. People in service are doing that. It's like being a parent, isn't it? You ever looked around and go, I wish somebody else could kind of show up and help me with this. I love using this comment. I use it a lot during funerals sometimes when kind of lighten the load. I'll look at someone and say, you know what? I heard one time that someone talked to a lady and said, you know what, if you had it all over to do again, would you still have children? And the lady's response was, absolutely. I'd do it all over again. I just wouldn't do it with the same kids. I mean, they just lightened the load. But man, sometimes we'd like to pick and choose things. But man, parents, you know, it seems so hard, isn't it? And it's difficult. And I mean, man, there's always curves and there's new things and all kinds of stuff. But God loves a parent with a serving heart. What about their spouses? You know, if you're looking for a place to serve, God's got a few options right there. And if you miss those and go serve something else, I think there's going to be a little bit of a penalty there. Because it starts at home. It starts right there with our spouses. It starts with our friends. It starts with our neighbors. If we can't serve them, then why travel across the world, go to Africa, hand out Bibles, and love on people? That's a strong statement, and I'll make it again. If we can't serve right here at home, in your house, in this community, in this church, then why go to Africa and hand out Bibles and love on those people? It's all for naught. So we got to start doing it right here. Hey, the second thing about this is very obvious. Serving is dirty and it's difficult, but it's rewarding. It's dirty and it's difficult. I don't know a whole lot of serving jobs that are really glamorous. If you're looking for glamour, if you're looking for the spotlight, if you're looking for that really cool glitzy stuff, then you know what? Start serving, because God said, if you ever want to be great, if you want to be the glamour, obviously not for the wrong reasons, but if you ever want to be exalted, you got to start right here doing this grit work. You got to do the grunt work first, because out of that, God will exalt you. Franklin Coal Company wrote this about those firemen. They were called the Black Gang because they got covered in coal dust. Their work was physically demanding. The work was relentless. The reward limited, and the appreciation was non-existent. Yet everything depended on these firemen. The entire ship was powered by steam, the propulsion engines, the heating, the electric generators. The voracious appetite for coal necessary to produce the required power was intense. This hot, dirty, back-breaking work rests squarely upon the shoulders of these hard-working men. It is difficult. I remember when Debbie and I first had, well, it was kind of crazy. We had Casey, and then we had Craig. Craig was only months old. Debbie went to the refrigerator one night. Both of my kids were sick, so I was at church, and she went and she grabbed a glass gallon jug of water because plastic wasn't prevalent at that point, evidently. So she grabbed it by the lid, and the lid wasn't on tight. It fell, and it hit on her foot and severed the tendon to her big toe. So they had rushed her to hospital that night and everything. So she had emergency surgery and everything. And man, I mean, it got rough in a hurry. I mean, I think in my own mind, I'm this really capable, all sufficient, you name it, I can do it kind of guy. But man, I had one kid that was sick and the other had diapers all the time. It was just crazy. And Debbie's laid up with her foot like this. I mean, like she couldn't get around on one foot. Come on, you know. So I had to take one kid to her and change all this other stuff. And literally one day, I walked to the front door and I said, God, I'm just going to go out front just long enough to cry. I'll be right back. And I grabbed the door and Craig starts crying. I went, golly. You know, so I went back in. Coolest thing ever. The next day, around noon, there's this lady that shows up at her house with her two daughters, buckets, mops. They said, we're here to clean your house. We said, we don't understand. She said, we know that you're going through a lot, and we're here to clean your house. And man, they got to work. I mean, they got the bathrooms, they got the toilets, they got the floors, they got the windows, they got everything. I just was amazed that this lady would do it, because no one asked. I didn't ask. But you know what? She just chose the job, and she went after it, and it was incredible, and I've never forgotten it. Philippians, the second chapter says this, about Jesus. Paul is talking about Jesus. He said, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look not only for his own interest, but also for the interest of others. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men, lowering ourselves. You know, not only is that a big step, but it's a decision. It's a decision. You don't do that just because you feel like it. I mean, it's a decision to say, oh, no, I'll back out of the picture and let them do it. I'll just kind of go the low route. I'll fly under the radar and let them get the attention. That's easy to do, right? No, it's not easy to do. It's difficult. And sometimes we kind of get these feelings about other people and stuff like that. And really, the issue is with ourselves. It's not what God's doing with them. It's what we are not doing with ourselves. It's tough. Matthew, the sixth chapter, says this. When you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. And your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will what? Reward you. Man, sometimes you feel like you're just down there all by yourself. Nobody else notices. Man, you're at home, you're just wrapped up with the kids. You're at the office and you're the only one that cares. You work harder than anybody else. You're trying to bust it. Everybody else is getting promotions and they're getting raises and everything's getting dumped on you. You feel like the weight of the world is on your shoulders. But if you're doing the right thing, if you're serving, then God says, you know what? I'm going to reward you. And the problem is we don't see our reward most of the time because we're looking at it here. If I go a lot of things at the office, if I give them my heart, then I should get a financial reward. If I do something for somebody else, I should get a big thank you. But God does this almost all the time. As we're investing here, we're thinking that the gift or the reward's going to come from here, but it comes over here. God out of nowhere is sending something our way, and we don't even see it because we're so fixed on how we think God ought to do it. And God is saying, you know what? I'm a little creative. I know how to meet all of your needs. And if you will do the right thing, and if you will be a servant, then I will make sure that you are rewarded. I don't say this braggingly, but I love that I feel this way. If financial difficulty comes my way, my first thought is going to be, Father, I have been faithful with your finances. I have tithed and I have given in offerings. And I ask you, Lord God, out of my faithfulness, please meet my need. I'm not going to make any demands on God. I'm not going to tell him what to do. But I do know that he'll take care of me, and he'll take care of you too. That's a part of his reward system. So in closing, let me just close out with a couple of things. First of all, listen, if you're living an unfilled life, if you're unhappy in life, it might be because of your unserving. It might be because your lack of serving is causing all of these other things to happen in your life. And because of this discontent you feel, the indifference is in your heart, you just feel like, come on, I need a break. Somebody ought to recognize this. I need a promotion here. I need some help here. I mean, does not anybody notice what's going on in my life? The Bible says that if you want that to change, it doesn't say anything other than just start serving. Start serving. Start serving. Find a place to serve. Find a place to serve. You know, there's plenty of places to serve, great or small. So you know what? It's not because we don't see it. It's because we don't choose it. It's because we don't choose it. You're unserving. The next thing is, you know what? Nothing says I love you like serving. Nothing says I love you like serving. It's amazing. Romans, the 12th chapter, verses 9 through 13. I love what Paul says. I mean, I can feel him getting everything's wound up. He's excited. He is bringing this thing to a crescendo in his sermon or whatever. And this is what he says. He says, love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love, honoring one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer, and share with the Lord's people who are in need. And he says, practice hospitality. Everything about this is action. I can just see things moving. I can just see things happening. I just see bodies going all over the place with this picture that Paul gives us. And the whole focus on this thing just screams, I love you, I love you, I love you. You know what, when you do something around the house, it's amazing how often the response seems to be, well, it's about time. And you know what, you haven't done it in a long time, and you're not known for that, it's about time. And you need to start repeating that, because sooner or later it's going to go from, it's about time, to, wow, how wonderful. Now, you want to hear it differently. I love you. You're the best thing in the world. Man, God just, I cannot believe I'm married to you. Now, come on. Every one of you felt that. We just need to see it a whole lot more. And we need to say it a whole lot more. But you know what will happen a whole lot more? If we start serving one another. Like I said earlier, and if this stings, I'm sorry. But sometimes we pick and choose who we serve. And if we don't start serving at the house, if we don't start serving at home, if we don't serve our friends, our relatives, our spouses, our kids, our parents, then you know all of that is, I've preferred somebody else over you. That's exactly what it is. You know, God wants us to serve him. And as we serve him, he will show us others to serve. And as such, he wants to get in there and just bless us. The last thing I want to share with you is simply this. What have you done with your life? That's an incredible question, is it? What have you done with your life? At this point, have you become self-absorbed? Now, I'm not preaching condemnation here. I'm just saying, look at what we've done. Look at what are our routines. How about when we get up in the morning? What do we do for other people? What is our act of service? Do we get up looking for that opportunity, thinking, God, praying, Lord, what can I do today? How do you want to use me today? Instead, too often we wake up and we're going, why isn't somebody doing something for me? We complain about the red lights. We complain about everything else. This, that, and the other. You know what? We need to start praising the Lord and asking him, who can I serve today? The greatest argument that will ever be had was over who's going to serve who. And that's a great argument. I've told you before, but I was doing a big discipleship thing with some kids that I was coaching in high school. Brought them over to my house. We started talking about serving. And the next day, I was at school, and we had our head coach's office, and then we had my office, and I'm in my head coach's office, and I'm sweeping. I'm sweeping his room out. And one of the kids comes in that was at the Bible study, and he comes over and he grabs the broom, and he said, Coach, let me do that. I said, no. He goes, why not? I said, because I'm doing it. He said, well, yeah, you told us that we should start serving. I said, yeah, I'm serving. You go find somebody else to serve, you know. And I said, I got my thing. You go find yours. It's that type of thing, and it can become contagious. It can become contagious. How our world would change if we began to have a root sense of service. Matthew, the 20th chapter, verse 28, Jesus says this, "Even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his ransom, his life, a ransom for many." So, what have you done with your life? Are you giving it away, or are you hoarding it, protecting it, preserving it, making sure that nobody can get in here? See, Alice, I know we're a bunch of wounded people. I know that we've been hurt. I know that we've been betrayed. I know we've had extreme disappointment, discouragement. But if all of that locks you down into self-protection mode, you will never reach out and serve someone else. You'll always look at that guy on the corner and say, you know what? He's just gonna spend that on beer. You always look at somebody else and say, they got the means to do that. I don't need to do that. You need to be listening to God's voice instead of your own. Listen, Thanksgiving and Christmas is coming up, and I know really the person that needed to hear all of this is deer hunting right now, so I'm sorry that you're the ones that had to endure this message, but it's always about somebody else, isn't it? But here's the thing. It's really about us. And have we really consciously absorbed who Christ is in our life to the point that we have made a commitment to serve? A commitment to serve. Listen, I understand we all have duties, we all have jobs, we have responsibilities. But you know what? Even as you fulfill those jobs and those responsibilities and those duties, it's the attitude of service within it that causes it to be not just a job accomplished, but a service provided. So let's all put those towels on our arms. And let's start today, picking and choosing where we serve. Will you bow your heads with me? Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our world can be changed. We've always asked, how can we change? How can we do this? How can we do that? We feel powerless in many ways to do anything about the things that are around us. Our family is just gliding along. Our relationships are null and void. The indifference in our heart seems to be consistent. It's almost as if Satan has a powerful tug on our lives. What can we do? Well, Father, if we've been looking, I think today we found maybe a starting point. It's that we began to serve others just as we serve you. But Lord, I just don't think we can call ourselves Christians if we serve God, but we don't serve others. That's just a crazy way to describe Christianity. And in reality, it's anything but what you did. So Father, may we begin to give our life away as a ransom to serving others. You told us that you'll reward us, so we're not going to focus on what do we get out of this, because that too often, that's the wrong question. What's in it for me? Or to ask the question, well, isn't that somebody else's responsibility? Father, it needs to first and foremost be that I submit myself to you. God, how may I serve you? And out of that, I know that you will focus and help me see how I can serve others. So I pray this day, Father, a dynamic change in my life. I'm going to ask you as a congregation to do this. There's no hands. I'm not going to ask you to stand. No one is going to be invited to the altar. The music isn't going to play. We're going to be dismissed in just a second. But I'm going to ask you to do something real quick. In your own mind, ask that question. Father, where can I serve? Where can I serve? This is not a commercial to try to get people to sign up for a program for a ministry in this church. If you want to do that, that will come at another time. But it's what God is talking to you about serving. What in your home? Who in your home? Who in your immediate family? Who in your immediate relationships? What is there that you can start doing that God would say, this is where I want you to start. I want you to begin doing this. And I want you to do it as unto the Lord. As we ponder those thoughts, I know that God is going to bring things into our mind. But I hope also something else happens simultaneously. That as we begin to see the common sense things of serving, that we won't all of a sudden begin to take responsibility. Even though that's not my piece of trash, I'll pick it up. Although I was here first, I'll let that car in. Although I'm the only one that seems to really care, I'll continue to be faithful at my job. Although it seems like nobody in my family really appreciates it, I'm going to continue to do the things that bless this family. But I'm going to do it with a new spirit and a new heart. I'm not going to just do my job. I'm going to serve my God. And the greatest expression of serving my God will be as I serve others. Father, I pray this day, as we leave this place, Thanksgiving in all its glory, Christmas in all its glory, and not just because those two things are on the radar. They're right on the other side of the hill. They're coming. This week, Thanksgiving starts. And Lord, we can gear up for a couple of things, but Father, I pray that this will be something that we talk about next year, how God has changed our lives, and that we become servants instead of people desiring to be served. Bless us with the words of your Son, Jesus Christ, the words of your Holy Bible that direct us, that the reward is from you, but the service comes from us in devotion to you. Bless us as we leave this place, servants, O God, towel wrapped around our arm, ready to go. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. God bless you. You are dismissed. Remember, tonight we have no service. So God bless you. Have a great week. No midweek service as well.